in different ways. And now we are going to end this wonderful morning, afternoon, evening in some places of the world with the great Valéria Benévolo. Valéria is in Rio. She's a dear friend. First we met online and then we connected face to face. And it's a huge pleasure to have her with us today talking about a very special topic, which is art in the classroom and how you can enrich language learning through poetry and art. I'm sure you won't regret being here. In Brazil, it's almost lunchtime. We're getting hungry, but I'm sure that Valéria will inspire us to do something really poetic and artistic in our next classroom. Welcome, Valéria. It's great to see you here with us.
Can you hear me? I hope so. Right. Yes, I can see the image. A sort of little kitten has appeared on the PowerPoint mysteriously. I'm not quite sure how that happened. I actually didn't add that kitten. The kitten is gone now. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to
wait a little bit for Valéria. Okay, guys, I'm going to turn my mic off and see if we can reach her. Okay, just a second, please. A second. Let's see if we can get Valéria back. Meanwhile, maybe you can. Jen is around and other people, so maybe you can talk to each other about the previous sessions, any questions you might have. Okay, but we are going to try to get Valéria back as it seems that she was kicked off the room. Okay, just a minute. I'll try to reach her. Okay, guys, just talked to Valéria. She's trying to get back in. So let's just wait a little bit for her. I know some people need to leave. If you need to leave, no problem. This session is being recorded. You can catch up later on, okay? But it is worth waiting. Valéria has prepared something really special for us.
Right, hello. Can you hear me again? I'm back. I temporarily lost my internet connection. Sorry about that. Very sorry about that. Okay, so on we go then. What I'm going to do then is just actually go through a couple of ideas of activities we can use in the classroom, and then we can share some thoughts at the end. First of all, what I'd like to know is how many of you have actually used poetry or art in the classroom? Just give me a show of hands if you have. Great. Right. And is it something you've used with different age groups and different levels, or only a specific group? Teenagers, different levels, specific groups, and adults. Okay. Right. Very good. Right. Sometimes using poetry can be a bit daunting. Right. Teens as well, yes. It can be a bit daunting because we, in fact, when we begin working with either poetry or art, it might mean that we we are dealing with the unexpected, because we're going to work with something with students, but sometimes we're not quite sure what will be happening in the classroom. So it's very important to be ready for the unexpected when we work with students and poetry and art. Now, Carla, I'm unable to forward the slides, so if you could actually do that for me. Thank you very much. Ah, thank you. Right, got it. Okay, so having gone through these questions, then let's just move on to the next one, which is how we can actually go about choosing either the poem or the piece of art we want to use. And I think this is very important because there are huge issues here. First of all, I think the thing is you've got to be comfortable with whatever you're using. I think it's got to be either a piece of art or a poem which you really enjoy, because then it's going to help you actually work with the students when you're running the class, and it's something which is going to be collaborative in some way. But also a good idea also to check what your colleagues have used before in the past, so you don't repeat something. And that's always an issue. If you choose something and it's been done before, this can actually sort of dampen spirits and so on. Also the ease of access to it. As I was preparing for this session, I found very interesting to notice that if you go into the websites of poets and the websites of artists, many times they say there are copyrights. And so this is a problem, because if there are copyright issues, and finally we've got the image there, you're going to have to deal with this very carefully. And this is true also for poetry, in fact. You can't really use poems without the artist's permission. So we've got to be very careful with the sources we're using. I have used several images here, and I've transcribed the poems as well for the presentation. But I think this is something we need to try and, as far as possible, work with the original poems, if you've got it in a book of poetry, or if you're looking at images, you can actually just access the original sites of the artists themselves. And finally, I think suitability, because some poems are wonderful to be used, but might not be as suitable for specific age groups or the level of language. So I think whenever we're looking at this, we need to be very careful when we're selecting things. So what we're going to do now is move on, and I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit of some of the ideas I've been thinking about. And first of all, I think, is why we actually, sorry Carla, can't move the slide, so brilliant, is begin focusing on poetry. Why I enjoy using poetry. I think the first thing I like about poetry is that it allows us to play language games. Poems don't necessarily follow the type of language that we're used to when we look at course books. It's not static language. One of the beauties of poetry is that it actually allows us to play around with the language, the richness of the language, to use language in diverse ways and perhaps unconventional ways. We're talking about rhythm, we're talking about rhyme. So this is a different type of approach towards language, and I think it's a healthy way of looking at language as well. The themes which poems deal with are varied, and they touch our emotions. And I think nothing better to learning than actually being to access our emotions. And when students access their emotions and are talking about this in classroom, whatever emerges in terms of the language they're using is going to be far richer and far more meaningful as well, and in the end memorable, which is everything we want. And I think there's a final point I'd like to make about using poetry. There's this whole issue about reading out loud poems and allowing students to actually to read things, to say a piece of poetry, so that they enjoy themselves and can make it quite a fun activity as well, rather than just something they're just reacting to passively. So I think these are the reasons why I would actually work with them. And I think this quote from Bruner is absolutely fantastic, because it gives us this dimension which working with poetry allows us to bring into the classroom, which is the playfulness of it. And it's without a doubt that when we begin playing around with language and using, and because we are in the ELT classroom, we're playing around with language which is not their native language, not their mother tongue. So we're mediating the learning with the target language itself. And this is actually quite challenging for learners, but it does make it very interesting in terms of the possibilities we have to inspire creative language use as well. So, let's go to our first poem then, and I think what we're going to be looking at from now on are some examples. The image is taken from my own book, okay? By the way, at the end of the presentation, Kahala is going to share with you a link, and I've put, I prepared a handout with all the references and all the poems and pieces of art I'm using, so you can look at that and pick up on more references, plus the ideas I provide during the session on how to work with the poems and the pieces of art. Okay. So this is a poem by John Cunliffe. It's in a children's anthology. And what I like about this poem is that there is obviously, just by looking at it, a great rhythm to it. And what I'm showing you in this slide are the first four stanzas, which are the first stanzas I would actually use with students. So I'm going to do a bit of reading, because I think part of the fun of things is actually dealing with the poems themselves. So I'm just going to read it, and I just want you to get a bit of the rhythm. So off we go. Orders of the day. Get up, get washed, eat your breakfast. That's my mum, going on and on and on and on and on. Sit down, shut up, get on with your work. That's my teacher, going on and on and on and on. Come here, give me that, go away. That's my big sister, going on and on and on and on. Get off, stop it, carry me. That's my little sister, going on and on and on and on. Right, so there's a very strong rhythm to this, and something students can really pick up quite quickly. But also, the language is quite simple. So if we're thinking about working with intermediate level students, perhaps teenagers, this is what I would probably do with this poem. I would probably start eliciting from them what their routine is and what orders during the day do they receive from parents, from siblings, from teachers, and so on. So working in small groups, they would perhaps gather their ideas, and we can, and the teacher would be monitoring whilst they're doing this. I would then actually put up four pieces of paper on the board with these four stanzas, and what we would do, it would be a running dictation. So they would get into groups, and each group would read a sentence. I would go up to the front of the classroom, read a sentence, memorize it, get back to their group, dictate it to the group, and then the next student would go. So in this way, they reconstruct these four stanzas of the poem, doing this collaborative running dictation, which can be very, very, a lot of fun for students. After that, then, what we would do then is actually look at the poem itself. And if I show you the last three stanzas of this poem, it becomes clear why, in the next slide, why I haven't chosen to actually use the last three stanzas for the running dictation. Because the language is a bit more complex, and it does become a bit more complicated for them. So, as you can see, this is how it ends. Boss, boss, boss. They do it all day. Sometimes I think I'll run away, but I don't know where to go. The only one who doesn't do it is my old gran. She says, would you like to get washed, or would you like to sit in this chair? And she listens to what I say. People say she spoils me and that she's old-fashioned. I think it's the others that spoil every day. And I wish more people were old-fashioned like my gran. So it's a very nice ending to the poem, but obviously far more complex than the beginning. So I wouldn't necessarily use this bit for the picture dictation. But we can actually look at this again and put the whole poem together and then see their reactions to who actually, does anyone treat them like that? Does anyone not boss them? Does anyone help them out? And I think this would be a great way of actually bringing this topic to the front, and as well as working with the language. What we would, I might ask students to do afterwards, but and this is the point I would really like to make clear. When we bring something into the classroom, poems or art, we never know how students are going to react. So I would only go on with this if I felt they really enjoyed it. If I didn't, we wouldn't continue flogging a dead horse, basically. But if they did, then I think that we would have plenty of room to actually have a chance to encourage students to actually write their own poems. So I think we could get students to write the continuations to this poem, not the continuation, but to write stanzas, two stanzas similar to the first four stanzas they looked at. So I think this would be my suggestion for this poem. Again, and here we go on to a next poem by Michael Rosen. Michael Rosen is a very famous poet in the UK, quite well known for his nonsense poems. I think many of us have read nonsense poems. I'm not quite sure how many students have read nonsense poems. What I like about this poem is that we have an opportunity here not only to work with rhythm and rhyme, but also the idea of homonyms as well. And if you notice this, it's playing around with the words. But again, with any poem, I think, what we need to ensure is that we as teachers feel comfortable with it, because at some stage, we're going to have to read it out loud. Or even get students to read it out loud. So we need to be sure that we're happy with it. And this poem here is silly. It's not really much to it, but I think it can be entertaining, and it gives that ludic element again to what we're doing in classroom. So what I would actually do with this poem is focus on getting students to read it out loud. I wouldn't worry too much about getting them to produce a similar poem or anything. I want here, my intention would be to actually help them enjoy the poem. So it would be the case of actually, in this image again, from the book itself, we've got a little picture for each of the stanzas. So I perhaps begin cutting out the stanzas and the pictures, getting students to match the picture with the stanza. And then in small groups, each group practicing and having a go with the poem. Obviously the teacher always monitoring. And then we could have a reading out bit as well. Now, the good thing about this one is afterwards, after working with the poem and playing around with it, is trying to make sure they actually understand elements of it, because they're quite subtle here in the third stanza here. Tony, George, meet Tony, Tony, George. So there's a lot of work in terms of intonation which we need to be aware of, but it can be quite fun. Again, I wouldn't use this with, I would use this poem probably with more experienced students with a greater awareness of language, and I think that's where we would have the best benefit for this poem. The next one, which I wanted to show you, I'm just waiting for the slide to change. Here we go. Is this one. Again, another children's poet, Tony Bradman. And you notice here that this poem is quite simple. We've got 10 lines to it and 20 chunks of language, as it were. So what I would do is sort of the, you know, the fridge magnet poems which people write and we can have. The idea you've got little words and you reorganize your words with your fridge magnets. I think this is the idea I had for this poem. If you gave students 20 pieces of paper with one of the words on them, and what they would do first of all is look at the their little 20 pieces of paper working in small groups and organize these 20 pieces of 20 words into a poem which would have 10 lines. So that would be the only suggestion I would give students, is you've got to put these words together so that they form 10 lines. Now, obviously, when we look at it, there is clear indication rhyme here. Rhyme between the words in the same line, but also between lines. So students might begin playing around with the language, notice this, but it is possible that they will create different poems. So another thing I would do for this activity is to actually give them a large sheet of paper, and on this large sheet of paper, then they would stick their 20 words or their 10 and their 10 lines, and each group would create their own poems. We would then stick this up on the wall. And this would be the interesting bit then, to see what poems students produced as a result of these word combinations. It might be similar, it might be different. And this would be the fun bit, actually comparing the differences or seeing what has been produced. And then getting students to read these out loud as well, okay? This is something which I think would be really, really great to do with students. Now, because the language here is quite simple, I think this is something we could actually use with even younger learners. It's not that complicated, really. So I wouldn't necessarily just limit myself to an intermediate level. I might even work with a pre-intermediate level. But then, of course, everyone knows their own level of students, and I think this is what we need to be aware of, who we're working with. So this is, and we can find on the internet several poems and several possibilities. Poems which are short and which allow us to work with a good focus on the language. Everything we do, we're always working with the meaning, with the idea, we're bringing the creative element in, but we're also obviously exploiting the language, because this is what we want to ensure, this enhancement of language. and growth as well. Okay, so we've talked a lot about children and teenagers, and this is something which I probably would use with adults, and I would use with adults at a more advanced level rather than a lower level. So first of all, I'd like you just to look at this image and just type in your in the chat box a word which you think comes up as you look at this image, please. Treehouse, creepy. Okay. Crumbling. Ramshackle. Lovely word there. Okay. Cottage. Okay. Antique. Crumbling again. Dilapidated. Rustic. Grandma. Okay. Traditional. Okay. So we begin seeing poverty. Thank you, Roseli. We begin seeing just from one picture the richness which emerges linguistically, and this is how I would start the work with this poem. I think this is one of the poems which I quite like. It's by Imtiaz Darkar. I don't know if this is how you actually pronounce her name. It's called Living Space. And in her book of poems, this is an image which comes from the book of poems. And this is another cool thing. Quite often you find that the poems are illustrated. And we can actually begin looking at the poem from an illustration. So I would begin working with that poem, with the illustration. Imtiaz Darkar, she is, was born in Pakistan, but she was brought up in Glasgow. But this poem is actually about the reality of living in Pakistan or in deprived conditions. So I'd start with the image and bring up any language which might arise. And I would do then a close exercise. Now, as you can see, I've removed some of the words from the poem. And what I would like you to do now is, and I would get students to work in groups then and look at the poem and perhaps think of the words they would like to insert in the gaps. So perhaps you could all think together, because we won't have much time to go through the whole poem, but for the first gap, what word would you perhaps think would be suitable for the first gap? Okay, crooked lines, straight lines. Twisted lines, okay. Wonderful. And so this would be parallel lines, okay. This would be clean lines, I like that. Symmetrical, so flat lines. So we can see invisible lines, I like that, Peggy. we can see again the richness of the language. Now, obviously the poem exists, and there was a choice made by the poet. But the thing is, remember, we talked about the ludic element. This is it. This is what it brings up. And of course, afterwards, we would show, having gone through this and discussed this and beginning to understand, we would show the full poem. Now, if you're going to something called Poetry Archive, and you've got this in the link in my handout, you can actually listen to the poet reading this poem out. So this, you could actually show students the poem, and then they could hear the poet reading it out, or you could read it out yourselves, okay? I think this is one of the most beautiful poems. I love this poem, and I think it brings out so many topics which are relevant and pertinent to us. And it talks about different realities, and I think this is something we can actually bring into the classroom. And what I would do as a follow-up is then consider, and perhaps this could become a project, consider living spaces. And I would get students to photograph different living spaces, and I'd ask them to react to the living space. And this is where we can bring technology in, because we could actually use something like VoiceThread or something like VoxoPop or something else where we connect an image with our reactions, either through audio or through writing. And you can extend the activity, because I think this is one of the points, taking it beyond the classroom, okay? How we can actually make it much more alive. Right. So, I think enough said on poetry, and let's get into the art bit then. Sometimes it's difficult to separate the poetry from the art. Yes, the end of this poem is really powerful. It's one of those poems which touches me always, Carla. Right. I will try afterwards response to some of the points you're raising here. And so I can see someone's always typing lyrics. Are lyrics poems? Well, yes, I agree, lyrics are poems as well. I think so. We can use that perfectly well in the classroom as well. Right, so on to the art. So we talked about poetry. Why bring art in? Well, art is visual. Poems are visual as well, especially if we're dealing with concrete poetry, and this is something which is great fun to do. But art, well, no doubt about it, art, the aesthetic element of art is there for us all to see, and we immediately react to it. And however we react to any piece of art, it doesn't really matter, because the important thing is that we react to it. One thing I always say is we don't really need to be experts on poetry or art to be able to bring this into the classroom, because there is something which is our gut reaction and how we respond to this. And whenever we respond to art or poems, we're bringing up new ideas, we're looking at things from a new perspective, we're bringing creativity into the classroom, and all of this is going to add new ways of expressing ourselves, and obviously, as we're in the classroom, expressing ourselves using the target language. And this is really, really rich. Students are very much used to this language of the visual language today. It's become part of the norm, really, so they will always, always react to it quite well. I think also, bringing art into the classroom changes the pace of things. The same way bringing a poem into the classroom will change the pace, but bringing art to the classroom changes the pace, because we have to stop and look at it, the same way we have to, with a poem, stop and listen to it. So this change of pace means we have a chance to breathe, because sometimes our classes are so hectic, we're doing so much at the same time, right? That it's really, really difficult. So change of pace is fundamental. And another thing is, when we bring art into the class, well, if we're brave enough, and if your students are good enough, and well, you've got enough control of them, we can always actually do something in the classroom as well, because I think this is great fun as well. So let's have a look at my first sample here of activity, which I think you're going to enjoy. So the first sample I'm going to actually show you in the next slide is based on the work of a Brazilian artist, Vic Muniz, which you may have heard of. And Vic Muniz, he created a lot of different series of pieces of art. And one of the theories he created was using other elements which weren't necessarily restricted to the pigment, the paint. And he'd created many pieces of art using jam, peanut butter, chocolate, caviar, and spaghetti. And I thought, this is brilliant, actually, to bring it into the classroom. This is something which can be a lot of fun, because it's definitely out of the ordinary, not something students are used to. So first of all, I would actually begin working with the textures themselves and the ingredients, as it were. So we would just either show images of, or if you have an interactive whiteboard, stick the images up of the ingredients he uses in his pieces of art, and just with a word web, and using the picture, of course, generate words which they associate with the texture, with the color, perhaps even the smell of some of the ingredients. Okay, so that would be the first part of this activity, right? Having done this and generated a lot of language again, I would then actually get them to complete sentences. Why would I actually get them to write down and complete sentences? Because I think there is a moment where we actually need to, especially in this activity, provide them with a scaffold for the further language work we're going to be doing. So actually getting them to sit down and look at the sentence and complete the sentence will allow them to to explore all the linguistic possibilities they raise, because if we're creating a word web together on the classroom board, we can actually the richness of the language they can actually begin using and incorporating to the sentences is fantastic, and this will be useful for the next stage of the activity which I thought of. So we would actually then sit down, think of the color, the texture, and so on, and they would then be ready to look at the pieces of art. Again, I got these images from his site. All of the images for these artists is copyright, right? So I think a way out, because unless you have a book with his pieces of art in it, is actually to go online, if you possibly can, and show the images, right? I'm very wary of this, because we don't obviously want to encourage any infringement of copyright laws, okay? But here we have the four pieces of art. The Medusa picture, Vic Muniz often works with a re-rendering of famous pictures and paintings, but using different, reinterpreting them. This is one of his favorite ways of looking at art. And it's his favorite way of dialoguing with the audience, okay? So we've got the spaghetti picture there, which is the Medusa picture. The paparazzi, which is a painting made out of chocolate. The Frankenstein image, which is an icon here, which everyone recognizes, made out of caviar. And the Mona Lisa renderings of the paintings based on peanut butter and jam. Again, I think the next bit would be to get students to react to this and see how they, what they think of these paintings. And if you are, if they consider these paintings, can we actually legitimately use these textures, these ingredients to in art? Is it art? And if we're brave enough, have a go and bringing these ingredients and ask students to actually have a go, or perhaps they can do it at home and bring the images to class. But then this would give a lovely opportunity to react to the painting. I'm very much aware I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to speed on a bit. And my next sample is actually based on another artist, which I think students react very well to, which is Roy Lichtenstein, very famous for his pop art. And again, I worked based on his site. And I randomly, well, not too randomly, I selected seven images. And the idea behind this activity is to select the images and to get students to write a narrative out of these images. Different narratives will emerge from the images. And that's fine, because what we're doing here is we're using the pieces of art as a stimulus for writing. And the great thing here is that the combinations are endless. Obviously, there are bits here which will be very difficult to escape from in the narrative here, but anyway, students can actually reorganize these and come up with different ideas. And I think what I would do with this one is actually either using VoxoPop, and listening to Jennifer, she reminded me of VoiceThread, which actually would lend itself perfectly to this activity, is actually I would actually get them to not only write the stories, but actually record them, because then we can actually listen to them again and then work through the stories again, perfecting, looking at the language used. Students can listen to each other, perhaps contribute with more ideas. It's a different way of looking at process writing, mixing the audio with the written form, and I think this is fundamental. A last activity I would suggest with art is a very personal one, and an easy one which can be done with any level of student, which would be to ask students to bring their own samples of artwork, pieces of art they enjoy looking at, or which means something to them. And this then could mean you could work with any level. So here I've actually chosen two pictures, one from Rio de Janeiro, Mercado de Peixe, which is fish market, a Brazilian painter. And the other one is Eliseu Visconti, another Brazilian painter, entitled Three Girls in the Garden. Particular favorite paintings of mine, but then students could bring any of these in, and we would actually have a class display. We stick up on the wall the paintings they bought. You notice I often use the wall of the classroom. Nothing substitutes the wall of the classroom, because the wall of the classroom is there to be filled, and it can be a wonderful resource for sharing and collaborating and bringing life into the classroom. So I'm all in favor of bringing technology into the classroom, yes, but using what we have in the classroom. So sticking up our paintings on the walls, we can actually react to the paintings. And so many possibilities. You'll see my handout, a few ideas for this one, but we could respond to the paintings, choose, vote for the best painting, or imagine a balloon debate where we have to save one painting of all the paintings which have been brought into the classroom, and which painting would it be, and students would have to justify their choice. Okay? Right, so time is up, I know, but I'm going to finish off reading a poem for you, which is written by Allan Ahlberg, another favorite poet of mine. Again, he writes for children. And this is in the Poetry Foundation, his introduction to this poem. And it's called Please, Mrs. Butler. And I chose this because we, our lives as teachers are very, very difficult. And sometimes people don't understand why we get stressed. And I think this poem sort of represents it very nicely, why we get stressed. So bear with me a few seconds, and I'm just going to read the poem to you. Please, Mrs. Butler. Please, Mrs. Butler. This boy, Derek Drew, keeps copying my work, miss. What shall I do? Go and sit in the hall, dear. Go and sit in the sink. Take your books to the roof, my lamb. Do whatever you think. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps taking my rubber. What shall I do? Keep it in your hand, dear. Hide it up your vest. Swallow it if you like, my love. Do what you think is best. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps calling me rude names, miss. What shall I do? Lock yourself in the cupboard, dear. Run away to sea. Do whatever you can, my flower, but don't ask me. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here with us this morning.
I have no word because
Thank you, Carla. Thank you, everyone. Carla, I don't know if you're going to round off the morning now.
I like to, this is Vance in Abu Dhabi, and I like to always mention that the date, for first of all, this is November 4th, 2012. This is a Learning Together event, but more importantly, it's a, let's see if I get this right, it's, let me click on something here, here we go. It's a Braz Tissol Brasilia and Joanya special online event. We have three presentations, Jennifer Vershore, Valeria Franca, and Barbara Sakamoto. And Carla Arena organized this, as far as I know. She might not have, at least she set it up as a Learning Together event. And I want to thank everybody for coming along and doing this. Any last words or thoughts?
Hi, guys. I'm back. I just wanted to say that we are going to post all the links and resources. Let me just grab the link here. We are going to post everything from this session, all the ideas and everything we can here, posting here the link for the smore.com. Also in the brasilia.pbworks.com, we are going to have the resources available. Thank you all for being here. I know, for example, in Brazil, it's lunchtime. And I know that for some it's bad time, bad with E. Okay, thank you guys. And once this session is over, we are going to take you out of the room. If you don't disconnect, because in 40 minutes, there will be a session, and if you can, please join us with Peggy George and Vance and the K-12 online conference group, and it's going to be wonderful. We've shared some of the links here, and you should get there, because it's just wonderful. So, next, a wonderful session with Peggy and the K-12 online crew, okay? Thank you, guys. Thanks, Vance, for always being there with us and for us. Valeria, Barbara, and Jen, thank you. Marcia Lehman and Edmilson for organizing with me this wonderful session, okay? Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's going to be wonderful.